You do that, you go to the box, you know, 2 minutes by yourself, and you feel shame, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you get free.
Welcome, welcome in, hola, konnichiwa, bienvenue. That's right, in any language you say it. Welcome in to the Pucknologists here on Pucknology.net. Do us a favor, as always, hit the subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening. SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And as always, follow us on the Twitter machine at Pucknologists. We're there. We're there, too. We're looking for you. We follow back. I kid you not. With every show, we always have my two favorite people on the planet San Jose. It's Rocket Backhander. How are you doing this evening?
I am wonderful and fabulous, AJ Strong. How are you?
Oh, I don't think I've ever been asked that question before. I'm doing okay. Hockey jerk on the other side of San Jose. What it is, my brother?
Oh, you know, just eating some gummy bears before I have a real dinner.
Oh, dear Lord. Gummy, gummy, gummy. Hey, since we last left you, and I know it feels like it's been a while because it has, although there hasn't been a whole lot of games played, but the Sharks right now currently sit 34-18-6 with 74 points, 4-2-4 over their last 10. The Sharks still holding on to that first place slot in the Pacific Division, 4 points ahead of Anaheim and 6 points ahead of Edmonton. The thing that's really fun to note, though, is the fight, the battle that is going on right now between Calgary and LA for that wild card spot. But the last game we saw with the Sharks, part of that road trip, the Sharks at Boston, and walk out of Boston with a massive 6-3 loss. But hey, Cassidy gets his first win in his debut as a Bruins coach, so good on him, right? The Sharks cough up six following a game where they coughed up a 3-goal lead. Hockey Jerk, would go to you first on this Bruins game. 6-3 loss, really?
Yeah. There's a lot of things that you have to consider. As you've touched on, you know, Bruins have the new coach. I have to think part of that is like, yeah, we got this new guy. We got to play for him. And I don't know, Boston has been that weird team where, you know, they look like they're down and out, and then they go on a run, you know, and then they're starting to look like they might make the playoffs, and then they can't score a goal to save their lives. Boston is probably the most confusing team out of all 30, I would say, this season. But what are you going to do?
They probably still are just in their Super Bowl hangover. Rocket. Martin Jones allowed 3 goals on 12 shots before he was actually pulled at the start of the second period. But Arundel comes in to make 18 saves in relief. Are the Sharks maybe finally recognizing that Jones could use a day off once in a while?
I don't know. Okay, so to be very frank, I did not catch this game. I'm sorry, I'm a bad person.
I don't think the Sharks did either.
Yeah, right? I can't just throw everything at Jonas' feet and be like, oh, it's all Martin Jones. Blah, blah. I didn't see it. I don't know what the defensive core looked like that night. I don't know how solid the passing was. And, you know, there's a lot of things that I would need to see in order to make an assessment. I don't want to start banging the Martin Jones is overworked drum, because it starts to smack too much of, we need another goalie that isn't Martin Jones or Arundel, and I don't care about where the money in the cap is going to come from. Just do it.
I'm so sick of that narrative right now.
You know, like Arundel can hold it down. And anyone who doesn't understand this, just spend not even 10 minutes, between 5 and 7 minutes on Google. Look at his stats. Look at his history. Calm down. Get on with your life. We're going to be okay. Does he need rest? Of course he needs rest. But how much? That's really something that none of us actually know for sure. Maybe he is a little overworked. Maybe he's not worked enough. Maybe he's got something on his mind. Maybe he's got some sort of nagging injury that none of us know about. to constantly say that Jones is being overworked and needs rest, that is such a conspiracy theory because it cannot be proven, but it can't be disproven either. And it's just kind of a moot point.
Yeah, I give you that. But over these last four games, I would put myself in that camp that maybe Jones takes a game or two off coming up in the near future, especially when you consider the madness that is March for the Sharks coming up next month. Lots of back-to-backs, 16 games in 30 days. That's a lot to deal with. So you got to have Dell out there getting some starts and just proving going into this postseason that Dell is, let's just shut everybody up about this. Oh, the Sharks need a real backup. You know what? They got one.
Yep.
Some teams don't even have a starter, so.
Hello, Colorado, looking at you. yeah, I know, on fire. Hot take central here at Pucknologists. Finally, just to put a little cherry on the crap Sunday that was the Bruins game, Patrice Bergeron throws up 4 points in that game. So, good for you. That's right. So the Sharks, oy. The Sharks move on to Philadelphia to face the Flyers. At least they pull a point out of this one, losing 2-1 in overtime. Speaking of Aaron Dell, he gets a rare start in this one and absolutely got hung out to dry, in my opinion. The Sharks did play this game without center Logan Couture, who was a late scratch and was written up as day-to-day because of an upper body injury. The thing that really gets me in this, the Flyers' goal in the third period to tie this game was their first 5-on-5 goal in 232 minutes dating back to the third period against the Montreal Canadiens on February 2nd. They had been shut out in two of the previous three games going into this. So, boy, that one hurts. Rocket, this Flyers game, that was a hard one to watch for me.
Yes. It was difficult for me as well. I do not like Wayne Simmons, and I do not like, I can't remember.
You don't like the Wayne train? Come on.
Oh, God, Wayne train. I don't like Gudas either. He's not as
good. No. Gudas sucks.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't like the Wayne train because he doesn't have a song unlike the Chi-Chi train.
Exactly. And if you can find me a catchy Wayne Simmons choo-choo train song, hey, I might get on board. I might even, upgrade to first class and get a cabin. But until then, I'm not on this Simmons train. I don't like orange and black. I saw a really good Valentine's Day card that said, like the Flyers, your love leaves me defenseless.
That was brilliant. There were some great, great Valentine's cards going around. My personal favorite, because it can be used in so many different ways, but the one signed with the Atlanta Falcons, are you a 25-point lead because I want to blow you? That, to me, was probably the best one, because you could also say it with the Warriors. Are you a 3-1 lead because I want to blow you? But then again, you could use it for the Sharks. Are you a 3-0 lead because I want to blow you?
I'd like to choke on
Hey, Hockey Jerk, what'd you think about this Philadelphia game, man? It was, apparently Couture just took the whole team with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this game kind of reminded me of last year's game where I believe last year it was 0-0 all the way through the overtime or through regulation.
Yeah, I don't know what it is with the Flyers, man. There's always really bizarre games against these guys.
It's funny because, as Rocket alluded to, the Flyers' defensive core is, it's okay. But
I think they refer to it as an offensive core because there's no D.
Right. Hello. But the Flyers have a handful of really good defensive players. I mean, Braden Schenn is a really good defensive player who can play center and the wing. Sean Couturier is a very defensive center.
True.
And we're seeing Steve Mason's like 85th heel turn where he's all of a sudden an elite goalie until
it's April. The second coming of Ron Hextall. Look out, everybody.
No.
So, the Flyers have always struck me as that team who, is more defensively sound when it comes to their forward core versus their actual D core.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was a tough game to get through. More so, I think, than the Bruins game. So the Sharks move on over to New Jersey, and hey, they turn it around. This time they get a 4-1 victory. Sharks, though, get 4 power play chances in the first period, 6 overall in the game, and can't net a single goal. But this is the one that Brent Burns and Kevin LeBanc decided to put on their backs. Burns with 2 goals, LeBanc with 2 assists. It felt like the Sharks were doing things in the better direction, but it still kind of felt like, especially with LeBanc getting time with the Joes, it really kind of felt like, well, the top line and the top pair for the Sharks showed up, and everybody else was kind of like, hey, we'll just watch these guys go, man. They're having a good time. Hockey Jerk, what do you like about this?
I like that we saw a really good game from LeBanc, especially because he got sent to the Barracuda, and there were a lot of people questioning whether he had, you know, hit the rookie wall, if you want to call it that. It was nice to see that he put up a good effort. It was nice to see Brent Burns continue to do what it is that he does. Yeah, as you recall, I gave him my second star last week just because the game overall, I thought it was really good. Like, yes, the power play was non-existent, but I thought the Sharks finally exploded with their goal scoring, which is something that we all have kind of been hoping for really since around Thanksgiving when they started hitting this rut. But now that they're scoring goals, I'd like to see them stop goals, you know?
Yeah, it does seem kind of how, as the offense is gone, the defense has run away.
kind of, but you got to look at the teams, and like a couple of these teams are the first time we're seeing them, right?
No, this is the second time we've seen Boston. This is the second, I believe it's the second time we've seen Philly, because I was at the Philly game in December. All right. Is this the first time we're seeing the Devils this year? It feels like it.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's take a quick gander. It must be in here somewhere, right, boys and girls? Everybody listening right now going, what the hell is wrong with you? How do you not have this written down somewhere?
He does, but he has a lot of stuff written down, so he just has to cipher through it.
Something else to consider, too, is Corey Schneider is one of the best goalies in the league to play for a crappy team.
Yeah, good job, Vancouver. The Sharks hosted the New Jersey Devils back on November 21st. So it's the second time we're seeing them. So
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, me neither, to be honest with you. I think everybody's looking forward to the Blackhawks the night before Thanksgiving, as we're tend to do, because that's how you know Thanksgiving is upon us. The Sharks are playing the Blackhawks the night before. It was a good, obviously anytime you get a W, you put 2 points in the bank, it's a good time, but this is one of those games where I kind of felt like maybe Schneider was maybe a little hung out to dry. I think to me it felt like a one-line team that night for the Sharks, and they came across a crappy D from New Jersey, so good on you guys. So they get off the road trip, finally they finish their final Eastern Conference visit, and now they're back at the tank hosting the Florida Panthers, and as you may know, a 6-5 overtime loss. This was an interesting game, to say the least. The Sharks battled back twice from a 2-goal deficit to tie the game, the end of it being all Pavelski. Yager gets his 1900th point against the Sharks, which of course that was going to happen. To me the Sharks, this was a very, very sloppy game. Jones again was not that great, but the Sharks overall very, very sloppy. Like, where was the defense? Oh my god, stick tap to you, Pavelski, to see this team down 5-3, to not only make it 5-4, to make it 5-5, and send it to overtime. And aside from what seemed like a kind of a sloppy, which seems to be the word for this game, sloppy play by Schlemko in overtime, at least you took a point. But I think Rocket, maybe this bye couldn't have come at a better time.
Yes and no, because so far the statistics on teams that have taken their bye week, when they come back,
they're horrible.
They all lose. Of course they do. They're in the middle of a highly competitive season, and you want them to stop. and not just stop playing other teams with no practice? You can't go skate? Like,
yeah, I really don't agree with that thing. I think if you're going to do a bye week, like, just make it league wide.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Everybody gets a week off for mm-hmm. like, you know, like maybe you tie it into the All-Star break and you just say, you know what, the week of that All-Star break from the Monday before the All-Star weekend to the Monday after, nobody plays.
Yeah.
Just let it go there.
I think, yeah, it would just be, this is, it's difficult. I can understand why the NHL would like it from a perspective of throwing a curveball in there and sort of making the regular season more interesting, you know, for the fans and stuff without really affecting the individual outcome of each game. But it's just stupid. I think it's a bad decision. And I'm not excited about the bye week. No.
Well, I also think it was a really bad decision to implement this when you already have a compacted schedule because of the tournament that took place just before the start of the season. Everything was already compressed at that point. So I think this is a terrible time to implement the whole idea of a bye, especially if you're not going to make it where you just choose one week that all teams are off. Yep. This staggering it, just not a good look for, you know, what some things that might work in the NFL just don't work in hockey. Get used to it. For the Florida Sharks game, Hockey Jerk, your hot take.
Here we go.
Martin Jones is the worst goalie to ever wear a Sharks jersey, and we should bring back Mike Vernon.
Oh, I thought you were going to go Kelly Rudy. Go ahead.
I thought you were going to go Andy Niemi.
No, you know what? This, then I touched on this, I believe it was with the New Jersey game. The goal scoring was there. I mean, the Sharks scored 5 goals. Generally, yeah, that is a good thing to happen, but they also let in 6. So it's not good.
Yeah, yeah. It makes you wonder where the hell the defense was. It's just so bizarre. Back to two games in a total of 9 goals scored. Where the hell's the defense?
It was, you know, watching the Florida game, though, like watching where Florida sets up in the zone, I don't know if it was just me, and it may have been just me not seeing things the way everybody else does, because I'm kind of weird. And by weird, I mean new. But it looked like Florida sets up a little bit farther back than other teams do. Like, they'll set up the blue line and then push up like towards the dots, and Florida was always a little bit behind the dots, and they would take shots from there, and San Jose's defense would push into the net so close that they were overskating, giving Florida too much room to make the deflections and the small moves from that area in between the you know, back, further back from the dots, but not to the blue line. That's what I saw from the game, where I noticed that the Sharks seemed to scramble to, that Florida just set up in a spot that San Jose didn't seem to be familiar with or like comfortable with skating to.
No, I like that word. I like that description, scramble. That's what it felt like. A bit, yes, of scrambling going on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But that's what it was, kids, and that was your week or so. Yeah, the last week in Sharks hockey. So, of course, we move on now to Shark Bites. Let me just put this question out to both of you guys, and I'll start with you, Rocket. How many trophies does Burns end up with the end of the season?
Like 3, maybe?
That's what it feels like. I don't think it will be 3. I think it will be 1. I think there's a huge debate for 2, and quite possibly 3 if he can pull it off.
He's going to get a Norris and a Vezina and a Lady Bing.
Oh, my God. Please, God, if you're a fair and just guy, make that happen. Now, obviously, the Norris, that name is already engraved on the Norris, and if it isn't, there's something wrong. But he's clearly, when you look at what he's done for the Sharks this season, he has to be a front runner, top 3 for the Hart. And you look at what he's doing, geez, man, he could potentially... How many goals are I'm going to show my greenness here. Obviously, the Richard Trophy is for most goals, But is there a trophy, Hockey Jerk, for most points?
Yeah, the Art Ross Trophy.
The Ross. Okay, I knew there was. For some reason, it was just falling out of my head because Thornton's first year here, he won both the Hart and the Ross, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking is I think Burns, boy, if he continues the way that he is, I think he's got a shot at the Norris and the Ross. And if you win both of those, how do you not get the Hart?
I'll tell you this. If Brent Burns wins the Art Ross Trophy, then Sharks Twitter and Hot Take Central is going to explode.
How great would that be, though, to see one guy on the Sharks, like, pull three trophies? Even if he just, I mean, we already saw Thornton, as we said, just over 10 years ago, pull down two trophies. Of course, the same season, Chichu. Yeah, pulling down the Richard. For some reason, I wanted to call him Couture. I don't know why, but Chichu pulling down the Richard. So we've seen the Sharks. There have been a couple trophies handed out here and there over the course of the last 26 years. Obviously, Nabokov getting the Calder. I believe, didn't Adam Graves win the Masterson?
Probably.
What's the Masterson for?
I believe, isn't that having to do with something like a big comeback type of a thing?
It's like, you know, you go through a crappy experience or something like that and you make it back to the NHL. Like, I don't know if he won the Masterton, but a guy like Dominic Moore, given his situation, would be a nominee for it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
An Alex Stalock type thing, you know, with his whole leg injury, that would be a Masterton nominee.
Yes, big time.
And I think he was one year.
Yeah. And I know Marlowe's been up for has been mentioned for the Bing a couple of times here and there. And I think, you know, Nabby getting the Calder, but I think we can all agree that Nabby got absolutely hosed when he was up for the Vezina. That was
Tony Granato won the Masterton in 97.
That's who I was thinking of, not Graves, Granato. Graves, Granato. See, they both start with G-A-R. Give me a break. But either way, how awesome would it be to see Burns just pull down three trophies for the team? And, of course, the likelihood of that happening is pretty damn nil because, of course, so many East Coast people don't watch West Coast hockey. So, you know, go sit and spin. Let's move on. we could be here all night. Just a quickie. For those of you who don't know, we have a friend. His name is Eric Kura, also known as Puck Guy, at Puck Guy 14 on the Twitter machine. And for those of you who are not aware, the San Jose Barracuda, your Sharks minor league affiliate, who also, bizarrely enough, in case you're not aware, they actually play in the same building.
And they are on fire right now.
They are
9 in a row.
Yes, they are on fire. And our very own Puck Guy won a contest for them called a Design the Jersey contest. And Puck Guy's submission was selected as the winner. So Puck Guy, lucky man that he is, will be dropping the puck for the game on March 12th versus the San Diego Gulls. So the cool thing about this is the Barracuda in this, I almost said Sharks, the Barracuda in this game will all be wearing these jerseys. Afterwards, they will be auctioned off, and Puck Guy, because he won the contest, gets his very own jersey that is so awesome, but he'll be dropping the puck. It is very cool, but he's going to be dropping the puck for this game, so totally invite you all to come out. Barracuda is a pretty cheap option for entertainment. So if you're looking for something to do on Sunday, March 12th, hey, it's daylight savings time. So you're already going to be losing an hour. So enjoy, you know, just like start early, man. Daylight savings time, 1 o'clock game, have a little brunch and go see the Barracuda and root on. Hopefully, you know, Puck Guy doesn't screw. At least it's not like throwing out the first pitch at a game. You know, it's really hard to screw the first puck drop up. But we've all seen Puck Guy's internet connection, so there's a chance it could happen. So we invite you to all come out and check that out and see what happens. And
So Puck Guy's internet is really good at dropping. So I would have to think that Puck Guy would be good at dropping a puck.
Hi-yo.
Wow. Nice save. Yes, I think that Puck Guy in that regard will be especially gifted. I think he should do fine work of this.
Oh, poor Puck Guy. He's listening right now going, you mother...
Love you, Eric. You're the best.
Hey, and so this is for the Barracuda game. And speaking of the Cuda, how they doing, Hockey Jerk? Or is it time for that segment, Jerking Off with the Cuda and the Hockey Jerk?
No more Yankee, my winky.
Yeah.
The Cuda are doing really well. They played on February 12th against the Ontario Reign, and they won 4-1, which was really exciting to see because last year the Ontario Reign was the team that gave the Barracuda a lot of trouble. Yeah. And as you may recall, the Reign defeated the Barracuda in the first round of the playoffs last year. You know, the usual cast of characters... Goldobin scoring goals, Danny O'Regan making ridiculously fantastic passes, Troy Grosnick, you know, still good. And then on February 14th, on the International Day of Chocolate and Greeting Cards, they played the Tucson Roadrunners, which, again, another good game. I said to Rocket, I said, Goldobin is going to score on this power play, and then he scored on the power play.
Yep.
And
it sounds like you should have won a puck for that, but go on.
I patted myself on the back quite a bit for that one. The defense was good. It was especially physical in the first and third period. Granted, you know, last minute of the game, when you have Stortini and Gallant on the ice at the same time, some stuff is bound to happen.
Yeah, it got really ugly really fast.
But I believe the Barracuda play on Friday the 17th, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, they
play at Stockton on the 17th and at the Ontario Reign on the 18th.
Well, there you go. So hopefully the Barracuda can extend this franchise record winning streak and hopefully see them back whenever they come back.
Yeah, well, they'll be back on the 20th versus the Texas, whatever those things are called.
Stars.
I know. I just hate saying that, but no, they're back on Monday the 20th to host the Texas Stars, and that is Frenzy's birthday bash. So just to let you know what has been announced so far, both Sharky and Lucille from the San Francisco Giants will be in attendance for Frenzy's birthday bash. So if you ever wanted to take a photo with three mascots at once, this is your probably one-time opportunity to do so. Game at 3:00 on Monday the 20th. So now we move on to my favorite segment and yours, our three stars of the week, or what we call...
Oh, good for you!
And as always, we start with Hockey Jerk and your third star.
My third star is Nikolai Goldobin for putting in a fantastic amount of work away from the puck to better himself as a player and, you know, create the chance for his call-up, because there, I was one of the many who put his give-a-crap meter into question, and he's proved a lot of us wrong, so stick taps to him.
Yeah, that kid's too good-looking for his own good. It seems like hockey is, like, fourth on his list underneath, like, you know, go surfing, workout, and, you know, meet the honeys. My third star of the week is the entire San Jose Barracuda. 9-game win streak, boys. Good on you. Keep it up. Keep it going. And maybe you can bring a trophy to the tank before the Sharks.
That'll be the day.
Rock it.
Hey, what's up? My third star is going to Doug Wilson. Because it's always weird to look up and see Doug Wilson watching the team. Even though he's the general manager, I always am surprised that he spends as much time, you know, with his eyes on the team, with as much stuff, with much other stuff as he does. So.
Mm-hmm. And we go to our second star. And my second star of the week, of course, Brent Burns. Guy is just putting up ridiculous amounts of points. Right, first guy to have 25 goals in how long for a defenseman? I mean, the guy is just sick right now. So how can you not be a guy who is in the stands rooting for this dude every night? every single night rooting him for him to get points. Take the Ross away from whoever is in the lead right now. What is it? Collar McBroken? I mean, just take that Ross away. Get the Hart. Get the Norris. Just, I want to see him have to have his family take another vehicle back to the hotel at the awards because his car is loaded with trophies. You know? That's what I want to see. So, Brent Burns, you're my second Wookiee of the week. Rock it.
Oh, I know who I'm giving my second star to. I'm giving my second star to Dylan DeMello because I saw him on the ice the other day and it was nice to see him back.
That's so sweet. Hockey Jerk, your second.
My second star goes to Kevin LeBanc because as I said earlier, it had appeared that he had hit the rookie wall. So he goes with the Barracuda for like a hot second, comes back and puts up a 2-assist game. And I mean, the stats obviously aren't there, but I still am on the narrative of he's good to have in the lineup, whether he's scoring or not, because he's a very smart player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I dig it. Feeling better and better about my jersey purchase. We move on to the number one star. And of course, we start with Rocket.
Hey, my number one star this week is going to be the Weasel himself, Captain Joe Pavelski, for just this team, this franchise could not have been given a better captain if they had scripted it. Like, this guy from the nuts up, let me start from the nuts and bolts up, like from the groundwork up, is
soup to nuts.
Yeah, he's just it. And I'm so happy that he's in teal.
Nice. Jerk, you're number one.
My number one star is going to be Joe Pavelski, because, you know, the whole narrative with Pavelski for the longest time has been, you know, he scores big goals, you know, he's always tying the game or starting the comeback or taking the lead or, you know, what have you. And we saw that in the game against the Panthers. He got the teaser goal and everybody was like, oh, hey, you know, that's it. I'm, you know, this is over with. And then he's like, nah, son, check this out. And he tied up the game.
Hold my Gatorade bottle.
Yep.
Gatorade. And I just, in general, I'm a big fan of Pavelski. So I'm glad to see that he's continuing to have success despite playing in other positions that certain people would not like him to play.
Nice. And my number one star, of course, Aaron Dell, coming in for relief of Joner, doing all that he can, and then getting the break against Philadelphia this week. Should have got the win. That's on the Sharks. I don't put that on Dell. But because of that, and I think we're going to see a bit more of Dell coming up in the next couple of weeks, you, sir, are my number one star, and I hope you keep that up. And if you were named one of the three stars of the week,
oh, good for you!
And now it's time for a very special segment that starts off like... That's right, babies. It's time for Around the Horn! For those of you who don't know, Devin Setoguchi was once a Shark. It was a long story. I invite you to go Google it. But short story is he was traded to Minnesota along with Charlie Coyle and a pick to be named later for the one and only Wookiee Brent Burns. Since that trade, life has not gone that great for Devin Setoguchi. He ran into some substance abuse problems and on and on and on. Once again, I invite you to Google it. But how the story kind of comes around is that he got a tryout and a look with the LA Kings this year and made the squad. And Joe Thornton, for those of you who don't know, was actually kind of a big part of that and making that happen for Seto and getting that opportunity for him. Well, unfortunately, as time progresses, Seto looked decent at the beginning of the year, but as time has marched on, hasn't worked out too well for Seto. So the LA Kings this week waived Setoguchi. And in what should be somewhat of a ending to a feel-good story, is kind of ended like a fart in an elevator because Seto has refused to report to the Ontario Reign, and it will remain to be seen where he ends up. I will go to Rocket to get your take on the situation.
I think he reported to the Reign, actually.
The last that I had seen is that he had actually refused to report.
Yeah, I saw a photograph of him in Reign.
So he actually did report. Well, don't I sound like a total idiot? Okay, well, moving on then. Hockey Jerk, the Canadians have fired a guy and hired a guy, and there's all sorts of fun things going on there. Feels like a little bit of deja vu. What the hell's going on with Montreal and Boston?
So we're going to flash back to 2003. Montreal fires Michel Therrien and says, hey, that Claude Julien guy looks like a pretty good candidate. Let's bring him on. And then a little bit later, they were like, oh, screw this Claude Julien guy. Let's have a handful of assistant interim coaches. And then time moves on, and they hire a guy who gets run out of town by the fans because, you know, speaking French is a hell of a drug. And then they're like, and they're like, and then so Montreal is like, hey, you know what? That Michel Therrien guy was not that bad. So they bring him back. And there's all kinds of stuff, you know, like, oh, PK Subban is too fun having whatever. And, you know, oh, Alex Galchenyuk doesn't play center the right way. And da-da-da-da-da, even though Alex Galchenyuk has been their best player this season when healthy. And so Montreal is like, all right, screw this Michel Therrien guy, but hey. You know who sounds pretty cool?
Our ex.
That Claude Julien guy. So the Montreal Canadiens dumped their ex for a different ex.
Dude, that's...
And that's your hockey history lesson.
On Valentine's Day.
Oh, my God. Like, you couldn't script that any better. Someone needs to be, like, working on a script that is loosely based on this whole situation. Yeah. This is so fantastic.
Hey, AJ, I looked it up. Apparently, one day ago, he reported, or Setoguchi reported to Rain Camp.
So he did report. Okay. When I had first written this down, like, 4 days ago, it was like, nope, he's not going. So,
that's
okay.
What I thought too.
Yeah. All right. Good to know. Finally... a couple interesting suspensions this week as per the National Hockey League rules governing abuse of officials, not coming from the fans in the stands, but actually the players. Anaheim forward Antoine Vermette was suspended for 10 games for slashing a linesman Tuesday night, and that's fair enough. As much as you want to lay into the officials, and I think we've all done our fair share, and as much as the officials, as you've heard recently in a game versus, I believe, Arizona, where the official literally twice told Mike Smith to get back in his effing net, you know, words are one thing, but you don't touch these guys. And that's fair enough. But in light of the paltry 6-game suspension handed down for Gustav Nyquist's brutal spear to the face of Jared Spurgeon one day earlier, that act is far more dangerous than the Vernet slash. It's clear the league is just, there's a disconnect in what is termed to be justice. And this has been a league-wide problem for decades, and I just don't understand. We've all heard that. I believe there's even like a NHLwheel.com or wheelofjustice.com that it's literally you plug in the player, you plug in the offense, and it spins the wheel like a dartboard, and it's like whatever it lands on it is. And you know, and then of course if you enter the name Rafi Torres, it's lifetime ban automatically comes up. It's just so silly. So, I mean, Hockey Jerk, I mean, what do you think? Do you think both of those suspensions are justified? Or do you think someone got screwed on one shape or another when you consider what the offense was and the amount of games gotten?
So, something to consider here. When Nyquist speared Spurgeon in the face, it absolutely looked like he was trying to turn him into a kebab. But, you know, Nyquist reached out to him and was like, hey, you know, I didn't try to kill you. It was a heat of the moment type thing. So he apologized. And yes, it was a brutal spear and absolutely deserved to be suspended. But at least he wasn't like, oh, you know, I'd do it again. F that guy. So I, you know what? I think 6 games was perfect considering Nyquist's lack of, you know, bad discipline.
And considering what Duncan Keith got last season.
Exactly. And as for Antoine Vermette, you know what? I'm definitely in the minority on this, and I fully accept that. But I think 10 games was too much because...
I do too.
So, because number one, to me, it looked like Antoine Vermette gave the linesman, you know, a tap. It did not look like he slashed him. It looked like he tapped him. But at the same time, I do understand that there is a no tolerance for touching officials, and it's absolutely deserved. You shouldn't touch an official at all. But mm-hmm. I think it's just, I don't think the suspension is warranted because, like I said, it did not seem like a slash. It looked like a tap. And it's very similar to something I saw in the KHL where a guy hits a rut and falls and grabs onto the linesman, inadvertently pulling him down. And he got suspended 5 games for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? And this one for Vermette, I would have given him 5 games. Rocket?
Okay, so here's the thing about zero tolerance. Zero tolerance means zero tolerance. And you don't judge an infraction by intent. Meaning, you don't be like, oh, well, he didn't mean to, so less than. So in a zero tolerance policy, if Vermette had gone over to him and patted him on the shoulder, I'm pretty sure they'd still give him 10 games and the NHL would still be justified.
Yeah.
Okay, so for the 6-game thing, that was gnarly, and everybody was really up in arms about it, and I think that it should have been more than 6, but I can't say that it was too little, given that he has zero suspension history. Like, and you can't start from, I mean, just from the small amount of time I've been around the NHL and what I know about, you know, player safety and this kind of stuff, is that if you are a player and you come in and you squeaky clean, you know, super Mr. Nice Guy, I'll play a real clean, solid game, heads up hockey, and you do something goofy that breaks the rules, you know, like, do you get a big penalty for it? No, they start you off small and they build you your history. So some weird stuff can happen in this architecture of penalizing actions by players, but it's necessary to keep players from being over penalized for something that really was accidental. But even like if it was an accident, but somebody got really, really hurt, it doesn't matter. That guy should get 30 games. You know, people have that kind of reaction. I know there's a whole camp of people that actually would like to base how many games and what kind of penalty a player receives based on the amount of injury that the other player receives. I think that's dangerous. I think that's silly. And I don't think that's the right direction to go.
No, and that goes back to the point that I was trying to make, is that there needs to, and this is not this is not like an original idea on my part. This is not groundbreaking. This is something that has been talked about for years, is that there needs to be something. Somebody, I mean, Shanahan has brought a bit of respect to player safety and everything, but there still is a huge lack of consistency, and it does kind of feel like dartboard justice when it comes to some of the suspensions or punishments that are handed out from the league. And I still feel like that is something that the NHL continually needs to work on to try to at least make sense of it for the fans, because it's silly. So we'll leave it there and we'll move on. Oh, predictions, prognostications, and the like. So let's look into how did we do over the last week. And I got to be honest with you, it wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. We all pretty much sucked.
Uh-oh.
What?
My time machine has been activated.
That's how you know we're all on the same team.
Yeah, it was bad, and we should all feel bad, in the words of Hockey Jerk. Versus Boston, Rocket said 5-3 win. Hockey Jerk said 3-2 win. I said 4-1 win, and it was a 6-3 loss. So I guess I'm going to give that win to Rock, because it was 6-3, not 5-3, but at least she was the closest in the actual numbers. Versus Philadelphia, this was a 2-1 overtime loss. Rock said 2-1 win.
Oh.
Hockey Jerk said 7-6 loss. I said 3-2 win. So I'm definitely out of the running. Now I'm trying to judge this, because It was a loss.
Because if you'd cut down to the lowest common denominator, it would be a 2-1 loss.
He got the not only got the goal differential, but he also got the L. Yeah. So I'm giving him that, even though you got the score. But yeah. Okay. So then we move on to New Jersey. 4-1 win. Rocket said 5-2 loss. Huh. Hockey Jerk said 2-0 win. And here's the thing that really pisses me off. If you go back and listen, I initially said 4-2 win. I would have been off by a goal. But then I listened to their picks, and they psyched me out, so I switched it to 2-4 loss. And you know what? Because they psyched me out, I'm giving myself the win. I don't care.
Fair enough.
So we all have a point, so it all comes down to Florida.
Rigged.
Alternative wins.
The goal differential was 1.5 million.
Nice. So with Florida, it was a 6-5 overtime loss. And Rocket said 4-1 win. Hockey Jerk said 3-2 win. AJ said 2-1 win. I think we're definitely taking Rocket out of the equation because she had a 3-goal differential. It was a 1-goal. Hockey Jerk said 3-2. AJ said 2-1. I'm going to give this one to Hockey Jerk because he got closest to the total amount of goals. I had 3. He had 5, and it was actually 11. So Hockey Jerk wins last week's picks. And as we say, oh, good for you.
And so for those of you keeping score at home, Hockey Jerk has 10 points, AJ's got 4 golden stars, and Rocket's got a thumbs up.
Nice.
I'm not telling you where that thumb is up.
Oh, my Lord. So, of course, we're going to do our picks for the upcoming week, and I should preface this, letting you all fun listeners know, we're going to be off next week because, hello, the Sharks are going to be off next week. It's the bye. But stay tuned because we do have something special rolling out for you early next week. Fun interview we did, and you'll find out about it. But let's just say we talked to somebody a little high up in the Sharks front office. Let's just put it that way. So we have coming up at the Desert Dogs hosting Boston. Then we've got the long bye week, then at Vancouver, and then hosting Toronto. Wow. And as always, we start with you, Miss Rocket Backhander, and you make the call.
You make the call.
All right, so at
Desert Dogs.
At Arizona. Here's the deal. Arizona has basically had San Jose's number all season.
Yep.
Yeah, I think San Jose's only beat them once out of like the 7 times that they've
played. And it was in overtime.
Yeah, so with the way the guys are playing right now, I really don't taste victory, which means that they'll probably win with a score of 3-2.
So you're saying Sharks win 3-2?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
They better.
Funnily enough, that's the exact same score and prognostication I have. Hockey Jerk, your call for the Dogs.
I thought we were going to do it all at once because I had a funny joke planned. But
oh, my God. We're going game by game. Go ahead.
All right. For the Desert Dogs, I think a lot of people are going to be drunk. And I think the Sharks
as opposed to every other game.
No.
Oh, the Sharks are going to lose.
Sharks are going to lose 3-2, and the Sharks are going to score 3 goals, but one of them's going to be disallowed.
Oh, man. Jerk going for extra credit once again. Boy, that's going to be fun to see how that works out. Yeah, 3-2 win, 3-2 win, 3-2 loss.
Disallowed goal.
Yeah, Hockey Jerk going for big points. So, following game, hosting the Bruins. Rocket, you have the ball.
All right, so Boston's going to be hanging out in a barn, and they might have the jet lag. They might just be hopped up on Red Bull. We won't know until they get here. I don't really know what we're going to do with a bunch of assholes.
No. Continue in the accent, please, until you're done with your pick.
Right, okay. So The Boston Bruins are coming to San Jose, and I know this is a really bad feel. I'm so sorry, you guys from the East Coast. She's like, they're not even doing it. Okay. So the Boston game, I want this to be a high-scoring game that just gets chippy, and I want it to be an expression of frustration from both clubs. I need them to take all of the bad energy that they've had, which is like within their own personal seasons as teams, and to throw it out on the ice at each other and not take it personally, but just get it all out there. This is the game to do it. I think it should be a 7-3 win for San Jose.
Oh, I like that.
I want it to be catharsis.
Oh, I like that. Man, do I like that. With this one, I'm going 4-2 win. And for extra credit, this is the night Thornton gets the 100th assist. Okay. Hockey jerk.
Well, for starters, you mean he's going to get 1,000 assists.
Isn't that what I said?
You said 100th.
Oh, did I say 100th? Oh, geez. I'm sorry. I meant 1,000. Duh. We've only been talking about like 996 for like, you know, the last month.
Right.
Yeah. Did I really say 100th? Yeah. Dude, I'm tired, man. We got to finish this up, man. Let's go.
So for the Bruins, I think the Sharks are going to be pissed that they
lost to the Arizona Coyotes. Go ahead.
So, the Sharks are going to be pissed that they lost to the Bruins last time they played, and they're going to be pissed that they lost to the Arizona Coyotes. So I think they're going to be winning 2-1, and then Boston is going to win 3-2. But Timo Meier is going to have a goal.
Oh,
hold on. Okay, just give me a final score, dude. What was that?
3-2 Bruins.
Okay, dear Lord. You're 3-2 Bruins. You're calling a loss in this game.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, okay.
Bitter loss.
I faked you out there.
Wow, dude. Captain Optimistic. Okay. At Vancouver Rocket.
Oh, man. Sharks better pull this one out and win it. It's got to be like 4-2 Sharks, please. Dylan gets a goal.
I like that. I'm going to, you know what? Vancouver is in such disarray. They really are. I'm going to say 5-2 win. And if you remember the last time the Sharks played Vancouver, Patrick Marleau got a pretty significant goal. They're going to be upset. But I'm not thinking they're going to start Ryan Miller at this game. So that's my prediction for this. Ryan Miller does not start this game. Hockey jerk, your call.
All right, well, I think for the bye week, the Sharks are not going to play. And then...
Good call! Way to go out on a limb!
And then when they play Vancouver, first of all, somebody is going to say Vancouver. And
stop it!
They're going to win 3-0.
Oh! Calling the shutty. For which goaltender are you calling the shutout? Going for extra credit on this one?
Mantis Armalis. No, I'm just kidding.
You're not funny.
No. I think Aaron Dell.
Nice. I like it. And finally, the Toronto Maple Leafs Rocket.
I think it's going to be... It's gonna be 6-7. Austin Matthews is going to score 3 goals. Joe Pavelski and Brent Burns are going to be like, no. And Sharks are going to win.
7-6?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, hockey jerk.
I think that the Sharks are going to beat the Toronto Maple Leafs 4-2. But my favorite Toronto Maple Leaf, Mitch Marner, is going to score that second goal. Sorry, I hiccuped in between my predictions.
Damn gummy burps. And I think this is a trap game, to be honest, and I think the Sharks are going to lose this 2-3. I just don't see them winning the next 4 games in a row, so I'm calling this one my trap game. I think they're going to get over the hump on Arizona finally. Thornton and the script with Boston is too much. Vancouver just out and out sucks. So, Toronto, you're my trap. So, That's it, kids. Like I said, we're off next week, but we, even though we're off next week, we will have a special edition show rolling at you. So take a look at your podcatchers and whatever you keep doing what it is you're doing. Hockey Jerk, do us a favor. Let everybody know your final thoughts and where the people can find you.
So my final thoughts are... the Sharks have finally figured out their goal scoring problems, which is fantastic, but now they don't know how to stop a puck, which is fine because it happens to everybody. So, you know what? Whatever. We'll get there eventually. It's a long season, 82 games. I believe we've only played 55 or 56. You can find me on Twitter at @hockey_jerk. You'll find a lot of random thoughts that I have over... or about the entire NHL. If somebody gets fired, I will tweet fired in all caps. It's what I do. And if you have any visions, premonitions, prophecies you want to share with me, DM them to me, because our friends at the Pucknology Writers Room had a prophecy that Michel Therrien would be fired, and he was, and they didn't tell me, so I'm pissed.
Miss Backhander.
Hey, my closing thoughts for this week and into the bye week are San Jose Sharks are still first in the Pacific. I remember 2 years ago, it was almost about this time, maybe a couple weeks after this, that we started to get into the mathematical percentages of the Sharks still being able to make the playoffs. I think that more people need to remember that there have been really more crappy teams fielded in teal, and that this one, even though it does have its problems, they're challenges. They're going to get fixed. This is a work in progress, and they're making steps in the right direction. Support your team. Don't crap on them. Support each other. Don't crap on each other. And you can find me on Twitter being philosophical in both hockey and life, and also taking pictures of this damn cat on my lap. Capital R, capital B, little Ackhander 76. Or you can go over to Instagram and check out all the cool pictures of Sharks practices and Barracuda games and stuff on Pucknology. One word on Instagram. AJ?
My final thought is, you know what, for those of you who don't think that the Sharks have the right backup goaltender, you can go to Dell. That's what I'm saying. You can find me.
Wow.
You can go to Dell. That's what I say. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @AJ_Strong on either platform. It don't matter. Once again, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Pucknologist. This was episode 18. That's right. Mike Ricci, baby. In fact, that's
Mike Brown is pissed that you didn't pick him.
Don't even care, Matt Carl. You can go piss off. There should have never been a guy to wear 18 for the Sharks after Ricci took it off. That's all I'm saying. Do us a favor. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your preferred podcast platform. We don't mind. It's okay. But do us a favor, follow us on the Twitter at Pucknologist. That's the only way to find it. There is no other platform other than Twitter, so follow us on there. Mm-hmm. And that's it. We done. Once again, taking a break next week, but we will have a special interview to roll while we're gone. We will see you back here, I'm thinking March. March sounds like a good month. So we will see you back here on March 1st for episode 19. Gee, I wonder who we're going to name that after. I'm thinking Marco Sturm.
Marco Sturm, yes.
That's right. So thanks for listening. We'll catch you on another episode of the Pucknologist.